warm welcome to all as we gather for worship at St. Luke's this morning, in person and online. Good to see you here. And Loretta, it's good to see you here. Loretta told me yesterday, she said, I'll see you tomorrow, but you won't see me. She had a stint and was home and doing quite well, except being very tired. But because of that, said that she would worship with us via Zoom this morning. But good to know that she's through that episode. I think I'm through the episode from last week, feeling quite well. I had a really hectic week, getting back to Boulder on Monday, Monday I had three medical things, had got my license renewed for the car and a bunch of other stuff. Left the house at noon Tuesday for our trip to California to check on my condition. So rented the car and got out there. Had to hop through Salt Lake City and then to Ontario, California. I had a couple of appointments and then hurried back to get the rental car back, and then had two flights back and got home Wednesday about 11 o'clock or midnight, and then came back here Thursday. And so Friday I was pooped, and so was Laura. A thank you to all who were part of the fix-up cleanup here yesterday. That's much appreciated, good effort there. A couple of items, one more item in regard to me, and that is because of what I heard from the doctors out there. He said if the insurance had approved it already, we're still waiting on that, but he said I want you here next week. So it simply is necessary that I reluctantly let you know that at the end of May, which was the original contract, I will end. I resign as of the end of May. Love it here, love you all, but that's just the way life is sometimes. So I wanted to let you know that. In the worship service this morning, we're adding a silence after the sermon. That's recommended in the hymnals. We're going to try it for maybe 40, 45 seconds. A little time just for a little thought to perk in terms of the message. And then today we're also going to remain seated for the hymn of the day after the sermon. That's the only adjustment in our worship service. And, I should mention, too, that Jeremiah has been aging rather rapidly. I was told that Jeremiah is a little under the weather, so Bill is filling in as our lector this morning, worship assistant. We appreciate that. We turn to our worship service, beginning with confession and forgiveness. We do invite you to stand. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, who forgives all our sin, whose mercy endures forever.
Amen.
God of all mercy and consolation, come to the help of your people, turning us from our sin to live for you alone. Give us the power of your Holy Spirit, that we may confess our sin, receive your forgiveness, and grow into the fullness of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen.
Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Most merciful God,
we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may lie to your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen.
God, who is rich in mercy, loved us even when we were dead in sin and made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. In the name of Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven. Almighty God, strengthen you with power through the Holy Spirit, that Christ may live in your hearts through faith.
Amen.
And we sing.
Praise the Lord, praise. liberating light. Praise the one who frees the prisoners, turning blindness into sight. Praise the one who preached the gospel, healing every dread disease, calming storms and feeding thousands with the very bread of peace. Praise the one who blessed the children with a strong.
Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah.
The Holy Gospel according to John, the 17th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus prayed, I have made your name known to those whom you gave me from the world. They were yours, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your words. Now they know that everything you have given me is from you. For the words that you gave to me, I have given to them, and they have received them, and know in truth that I came from you, and they have believed that you sent me. I am asking on their behalf. I am not asking on behalf of the world, but on behalf of those whom you gave me, because they are yours. All mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I have been glorified in them. And now I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them in your name that you have given me, so that they may be one as we are one. While I was with them, I protected them in your name that you have given me. I guarded them, and not one of them was lost except the one destined to be lost, so that the scripture might be fulfilled. But now I am coming to you, and I speak these things in the world so that they may have my joy made complete in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, because they do not belong to the world, just as I do not belong to the world. I am not asking you to take them out of the world, but I ask you to protect them from the evil one. They do not belong to the world just as I do not belong to the world. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. As you have sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, so that they also may be sanctified in truth. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. We'll see what else we may have. I'll bet you there might be a Dane or two in this congregation, okay? Grace and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. You know, someone once said that a preacher should preach with a Bible in one hand and the newspaper in the other. It was a figure of speech, but just a reminder that in preaching you always deal with somehow the interplay of word and world, the word we live in and the word of God. In today's gospel reading, two things stand out. The deep concern that Jesus has for his followers and the reality of the world in which we live. In this reading, I don't know if you noticed the word world is there 13 times in just these few verses. A challenging place. Yeah, a place of life and mission with a potential for joy, which is a gift of our Lord, but with the certainty of risk and resistance, struggle and hardship, the world we know. Life itself is a gift. You know, the beauty of Johnson County is a gift. The wonder of birds and trees, the delight of human relationships of all kind. As I wrote not long after Marlis and I got here, you know, what's not to love? But we know the other side of the coin. In our world, all of the dysfunction, all of the things that don't make sense, I've experienced some of that very recently. Just one little incident. I had a couple of medical appointments in Boulder recently. One of them was a scan for which they gave me a CD, you know, the result of the scan. The other department said they couldn't read CDs. Same medical department, you know, the same hospital complex. These places weren't 100 yards apart. They could, like, I know that at some point you've said that about something you've experienced. It just doesn't make sense. But that's small stuff. As people in a complex world, we experience so much more, and it's so hard to get it right. I think about the world we live in. We have inflicted environmental destruction without intending to do so. One that stands out in my mind is those decisions years ago to try to channelize some of the big swamps like the Okefenokee or the Everglades. And then they find out, no, that swamp, the way it is a great gift to the environment. Or thinking of various ways that we have sought short-term profits without thinking of the long-term consequences of things we've done. Over and over, intending to do good, we mess up. Human societies, including ours, suffer from racism. Often, of course, with racists. Think of the Ku Klux Klan, for example. But I used to wonder if there could be racism without racists. And now I've done enough reading and observing to get a better grasp of it, of how negative results come out of decisions made without intention to do harm. We've learned we don't need racists to produce negative results. Throughout history, almost every human society, including ours, has found reason periodically to send our youth to kill and to be killed. It's the story of human history. Wars, generally to pay the debts and to take care of the dreams of the old and the influential. There are other reasons. Some of them, of course, are for noble purposes, but by no means all of them. Yeah. So Jesus means this world, the world we live in. And being more religious is no guarantee. I read a book just this week titled A Twisted Faith. Now, you've probably heard people, maybe you've said it yourself, of some family member who has gone a different direction, a different faith community that seems a little unusual or quite distant. And you've said, well, at least they're going to church. After reading that book, I said, I'm not so sure about that. Because there are terribly destructive things done. And it isn't just an individual or two, it's the whole system there. That, there are terrible things that happen, but it all flows out of that idea that women need to be submissive. And boy, you may have experienced women, you may be very much aware of how much that idea of women staying submissive winds up being a terrible thing. So religion, apart from common sense and good mental health, can be really a bad thing. Really a bad thing. And I haven't even mentioned our politics, of course. And we could say a thing or two about that. But what are we saying? As we stare at the newspaper, what word can speak to us? Maybe this word, appointed for today. The special reading which talks about the Lord's understanding. Jesus understands this world. He suffered in this world. He served in this world. He ministered in this world. And so we know his deep, deep care and compassion. And that's part of something that we observe all the time, again today at the table. A reminder of our Lord's care, where he says, do this in remembrance of me. And that means not only remembering the night of his betrayal, but remembering Jesus and his concern and his care and love. This touch of love assures us we are never far from the heart of God. The gospel reading brings that message as Jesus prays for the disciples who are gathered about him and prays for all who will follow him. Prays that they will stay united with him. But you notice that it includes all, not only those gathered around him, but all who will believe in him. And that means Jesus prays for you. Jesus prays for us. In every generation, followers of Jesus live in a kind of uneasy relationship with this world around us. We breathe this world's air. We live under its laws. We survive in its political and economic systems. Yet at the same time, as that reminds us, we are called out of the world. To live as strangers and exiles on the earth, to be resident aliens here, where we are never really fully invested in this world in which we live. New Testament, says our citizenship is in heaven. and urges us not to be conformed to the world. The disciples have been called out of the world. They have followed him and learned from him. Now he's preparing them for his departure, and he's aware that they will be exposed to the world's risks in any way. And so he prays, they do not belong to the world, just as I do not belong to the world. And notice, I'm not asking you to take them out of the world, but I ask you to protect them from the evil one. In the world, but not of it. Trying to make sense of the world and understand how faith and life fit together. And it was that thought that led me to that strange title of today's sermon. Maybe you noticed that Alice, Dorothy, Dietrich, and you. What they and we have in common is life in a strange world. I bet you guessed Alice is Alice in Wonderland. Alice, through the looking glass, Alice, you remember, tumbled into this strange world. That strange storybook world was capricious, arbitrary. Rules didn't apply. Logic went out the window. The Tea Party, the Queen, the Mad Hatter, the March Hare, the Cheshire Cat, all left Alice trying to make sense of a nonsense world. And you, my friends, how often have you said about any circumstance, it just doesn't make sense? Having jobs for more people can potentially be bad for people who have investments, because then the company isn't quite making the profits they would if they didn't have so many people working for them. Steal a little and you go to jail. Steal billions and the government will help to cover your losses. If you're in need, get divorced to protect your family. Don't get married late in life because it will threaten your benefits. I'm not asking you to take them out of the world. Jesus assumes the struggles and problems of living in an illogical world. Dorothy is the girl from Kansas, the one looking for the Wizard of Oz. Dorothy with the ruby slippers following the yellow brick road. You remember that story, a tornado and a knock on the head took Dorothy to this world of magic and menace. The scarecrow, the tin woodman, the cowardly lion became her friends, and they were her traveling companions. But they discovered that the wonderful wizard was not the answer. He was a charlatan. As he said, I'm a good man, I'm just a very bad wizard. That's kind of the way it is often with leadership in this world, isn't it? And in that story, evil was there, in the person of the wicked witch of the West. But Dorothy survived. Evil overcome by pluck and luck, the story came to a happy ending in which style was seen as more important than substance. A degree was better than a brain. Sounds like our world. A testimonial took the place of a heart, and a medal sufficed where courage was lacking. Dorothy returned to Kansas, remembering that there's no place like home. In that story, we can recognize our own world and laugh at it. We see the ridiculous bits of the reality all around us. Jesus would have recognized that as well. But I am not asking you to take them out of the world. Dietrich is Dietrich Bonhoeffer, citizen of a warped, dangerous, and evil world, a world led by a madman. Dietrich was surrounded by technology run amok, brilliance without conscience, unpopular minorities made scapegoats, genocide, war, and violence. The evil in his world imprisoned him and finally took his life. But in his death, he was held in faith. I am not asking you to take them out of the world, not even to protect them from harm, but to protect them from the evil one. Struggle and misfortune, grief and pain, even tragedy and alienation are all around us. They touch us and wound us. More than that, that dark reality of sin is an infection which has touched every heart, including every one of ours. The enemy is not only the evil one, but is the enemy within us as well. If only it were out there, you know. If only evil were out there, we could build a wall, we could sort out sheep from goats, we could try to determine who really believes and who doesn't. that that's all doomed, because those kind of efforts are themselves born of evil. No, friends, our only salvation is that which is ours in Christ, who loves us and gave himself for us. In the Christ who prayed and still prays for us. The one in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Christ, crucified and risen, is our hope, our strength, our resource for caring for one another. May God strengthen all of us who continue to live as God's unique people in this strange land. Amen.
Follow me, I will bring you home.
Of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in
God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth.
I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord,
who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and is buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven.
He is seated at the right hand of the Father,
and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit,
the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints,
the forgiveness of sins,
the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Alive and the risen Christ, by the power of the Holy Spirit, we bring our prayers before God, who promises to hear us and answer in steadfast love. Holy God, in Christ Jesus, the joy of the Church is made complete. Root the Church in your word and unify us as Christ's body. Send us into the world as your loving people, ready to testify to your Spirit at work. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Mighty God, the world is your handiwork, displaying your creative impulse. Seas teem with life. Forests reach up to praise you, and the mystery of life lies deep in the soil. Guard and keep this world for the well-being of all your creatures. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Gracious Sovereign, those who follow your ways are like trees planted near streams of water. And establish the leaders of nations and all in authority in your grace and truth. Strengthen them so that the people they serve will have abundant life. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Gracious Savior, you befriend those who are sick, suffering, poor, lonely, outcast, rejected, or sick. Grant healing and love to all in need. We remember especially the Johns family, Dickerson and Dobbin families, Loretta Funk, and others known to us and unknown. Give them tangible signs of your steadfast love. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Creator God, here in this community, we share the gift of praying, learning, and supporting one another. Give us thankful hearts as we claim the gifts that are unique to us, and keep us from being envious of others with different gifts. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
We pray that the Holy Spirit will continue working through our joint call committee collectively and through all who work for the future of our ministry. We pray that the Spirit will move in the hearts of the candidates who are part of this process as well. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Saving God, your wonderful promise is the gift of eternal life in Jesus. Through the witness of those who have died in you, strengthen us now in this gift of life. We cherish the memory of your saints, especially Bessie and Ruth. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
In the hope of new life in Christ, we raise our prayers to you, trusting in your never-ending goodness and mercy, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
The peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
Share a sign of peace in whatever way you are comfortable doing that, with a wave or a peace sign or whatever. Please be seated for a moment as we again acknowledge the fact that your gifts, the grace of God working through you, helps to sustain this congregation and ministries far beyond us. We give thanks to God for you, and we give thanks to you for the generosity with which you continue to support the ministries of this congregation and to express Christ's love in the community and beyond in so many ways. It is a wonderful thing that God's love finds expression in the responses of God's people. And so for that, we are grateful to God and to you. Offerings can be, as always, sent in, mailed in, dropped in the plates here at the church, or in whatever way you choose to do that. But a reminder that God's generosity finds expression through us. We thank you. We continue with the offertory song.
Let the midwives be fruitful, Lord, and fill to the brim our cup of blessing. Gather a harvest from the seeds of our soul, that we may be fed with the bread of life. Gather the hopes and dreams of all, unite them with the prayers we offer. Grace our table with your presence, and give us a foretaste of the feast to come.
Let us pray. Blessed are you, O God, ruler of heaven and earth. Day by day you shower us with blessings. As you have raised us to new life in Christ, give us glad and generous hearts, ready to praise you and to respond to those in need. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Please stand as we begin the communion liturgy. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, almighty and merciful God, for the glorious resurrection of our Savior Jesus Christ, the true Paschal Lamb, who gave himself to take away our sin, who in dying has destroyed death, and in rising has brought us to eternal life. And so with Mary Magdalene and Peter and all the witnesses of the resurrection, with earth and sea and all their creatures, and with angels and archangels, cherubim and seraphim, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
Holy Lord, Lord God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.
Holy, mighty, and merciful Lord, heaven and earth are full of your glory. In great love you sent to us Jesus, your Son, who reached out to heal the sick and suffering, who preached good news to the poor, and who on the cross opened his arms to all. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering, therefore, his death, resurrection, and ascension, we await his coming in glory. Pour out upon us the spirit of your love, O Lord, and unite the wills of all who share this heavenly food, the body and blood of Jesus Christ our Lord, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be all honor and glory now and forever. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Come to the banquet, for all is now ready. body of Christ given for you.
Christ's blood shed.
The body of Christ given for you.
The blood of Christ given
for you. The body of Christ given for you.
Christ's blood.
The body of Christ given for you.
The blood of Christ given for you.
The body of Christ given for you.
Christ,
the body of Christ
given
for you.
The blood of Christ given for you.
The body of Christ given for you. Please stand, let us pray. Life-giving God, in the mystery of Christ's resurrection, you sent light to conquer darkness, water to give new life, and the bread of life to nourish your people. Send us forth as witnesses to your Son's resurrection, that we may show your glory to all the world. Through Jesus Christ, our risen Lord. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord's face shine on you with grace and mercy. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.
Amen.
How great thou art, how great.
near the brook and feel the gentle breeze. Then sings my soul, my Savior, God to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, how great thou art, how great thou art. But when I think that God his Son hath sparing, sent him to die, I scarce can take it in.
The Lord is with you.
Thanks be to God.
And coffee is available.
Good morning. This is the thing.